And now we're going to enjoy some music by Daniel Namud to take us into today's message.
There is more than enough in a universe that you created. There is more than enough on a planet of sacred design. There is more than enough for humanity made in your image. Why would I worry? Why would I doubt? Why would I ever think I'd go without? Why would I worry? Why would I doubt? Why would I ever think I'd go without? Your infinite love made me, made everything I see, and all that will ever be is your infinite love. Let my soul know. Sacred design. There is more than enough for humanity made in your image. Why would I worry? Why would I doubt? Why would I ever think I'd go without? Why would I worry? Why would I doubt? Why would I ever think I'd go without? Your infinite love made me, made everything I see, and all that will ever be is your infinite love. Let the world know the truth, whatever we choose to do, your infinite love will prove more than enough.
Enjoy this very short video.
What can I do for you, Rod? You just tell me, what can I do for you?
It's a very personal, very important thing.
Are you ready, Jerry?
I'm ready.
Just want to make sure you're ready, brother.
Here it is. Show me the money.
Yo! Show you the money.
Oh, no, you can do better than that, Jerry. I want you to say it what you would mean it, brother.
Hey, I got Bob Sugar on the other line. I better hear you say it. No. Show you the money.
Not so you. Show me the money.
Show me the money.
Yeah. Louder.
Show me the money.
That's it, brother, but you got to yell.
Show me the money.
I need to feel you, Jerry.
Show me the money.
Jerry, you better yell. Show me the money.
Well, that's our topic today. Show me the money. And I do have an opening story that I want to share with you. There once was this very miserly old man and he learned that he was dying. And he called to his wife and told her, "I know they say you can't take it with you, but I have a plan. Go to the bank, take out half of the money, put it in the attic, directly over my bed, where I will die." So the wife goes to the bank and withdraws half of their savings. She goes home and stuffs 4 pillowcases with $100 bills. Not long afterwards, the man passes away. And about a month later, the wife is up in the attic cleaning things up and cleaning things out. And she comes across the pillowcases filled with the $100 bills still sitting there exactly where she had put them. And she just shakes her head and says, "That old fool, I knew I should have put them in the basement." But see, you're not laughing. See, the understanding is that, you know, he's thinking that heaven is up and he could just grab it. Well, never mind. Today we are going to talk about money. And if you feel yourself starting to get all tensed up, relax. This will not be about asking you for money. Instead, we're going to look at money as it may possibly relate to spirituality. Can money bring you spiritual growth? Or does spiritual growth bring you money? Interesting questions. Comedian Craig Ferguson once said, "It's easier to feel a little more spiritual with a few bucks in your pocket." But the funniest quote that I came across about money was by Rita Rudner. And she said, "Someday I want to be rich." Some people get so rich that they lose all respect for humanity. That's how rich I want to be. We can downplay money. We talk about how money can be destructive. In Paul's letter to Timothy, he says, "The love of money is the root of all evil." But I call attention that Paul is not saying that money is the root of all evil, but that the love of money is the root of all evil. Something we'll get into a little bit later. And there's an old expression about money: people are funny about money. Did you ever notice that as you get to know people more and more, you can ask them more and more personal questions? You could ask them about their family, how everybody's doing. You can ask them at some point, you know, about their relationships and what makes them happy and what makes them unhappy and what are they worried about. But asking people how much money they have or what their income is a definite no-no. And one of the biggest lectures I ever got from my mother was after I asked my uncle what he paid for the ring that he was wearing. And I remember years ago sitting down with a financial advisor along with Susan, and he asked questions about our net worth and what money we had and where we had it. And of course he needed to do this. But I was very uneasy about talking to him about this, and I wanted to tell him to mind his own business. And anytime I'm answering questions that include what my income is, if I'm taking a survey online and they ask me to check off what income bracket I'm in, I never answer. And if that means I abort the survey, so be it. I was more comfortable telling my sins to a priest in the confessional back when I was a little boy. And I still get the willies when I think back to those times. Still, the song in our opening video today, which was a clip from the musical Cabaret, has a lot of truth to it. In many ways, money makes the world go around. There's an old quote from Mae West: "I have been poor and I have been rich, and rich is much better." And money or financial issues far and away are still the single biggest cause of divorce in our country. Many people, sadly, will do much more for money than they will do for love. And whatever your relationship with money might be, money is foundational. Think about it. When the coronavirus started to come at us in waves back in March, our government's weapon of choice in fighting it was money. Congress rushed to pass trillions of dollars in relief packages in the form of checks, tax reductions, loans, and subsidies, but played down the seriousness of the virus and lagged even about going through the business of getting people tested. Giving life support to the economy was given top priority, and we bilaterally supported it. I have an interesting question for you to think about. What would bring you greater anxiety, you or a loved one, testing positive for COVID-19, or getting laid off, losing your job? I'm guessing that your current financial situation really makes a difference as to how you might answer that question. Jack Benny used to do a bit where a stranger would come up to him and poke a gun into his ribs and say, "Your money or your life?" And Jack Benny just stood there and didn't answer. And so the mugger got more aggressive, and he pushed the gun in a little firmer into his ribs and said, "Didn't you hear me? I said, your money or your life." To which Jack Benny replies, I'm thinking. To show you how insane things can get when it comes to money, I want to share with you a personal story. The very first time that I took a business trip to Hong Kong, which was many years ago, my plane landed in the evening after dark. And then the cab ride to the hotel, I was awestruck. I was mesmerized by the bright neon lights that were absolutely everywhere. And I checked into the hotel, but I couldn't sleep. So I went out and started walking. And I couldn't walk 10 feet without seeing a store or people literally on the sidewalks selling things. And I came across an old lady sitting on the street with a very small blanket. And on the blanket, there were all kinds of little trinkets that she was trying to sell. And she had these little homemade fans. And I wanted one for each of my two daughters that I wanted to bring home as a souvenir for them. And we went back and forth for 20 minutes, haggling over the price. We were negotiating in Hong Kong dollars, which was the first time that I had ever tried to do that, and I kind of lost track of what it was all about. And then finally I realized what she was asking for was 15 cents each in U.S. dollars. And I had been pounding away on her trying to get them for half of that price. And there she was, barefoot, undernourished, dirty, and it was clear that she was very poor, and I felt thoroughly embarrassed. I took the two fans and handed her a U.S. $10 bill, and as I walked away, she looked at me as if I was insane, and she was right. I was. Spiritually seeking, what is money really? Money in and of itself is nothing. It's just paper with words and figures printed on both sides of it. It's what it represents. Our co-founder Charles Fillmore says that money is a symbol used to place a value on goods and services. And he says that money is the materialization of spiritual substance, the symbol of the idea of prosperity. Joseph Campbell says something very similar. He says money is congealed energy, and releasing it releases life's possibilities. Whether you prefer to look at money as a manifestation of divine substance or a tangible expression of energy, there definitely is a metaphysical aspect to it. It is your connection with divine substance, or your ability to work with spiritual energy, that determines your relationship with money and reflects your relationship with God. And so likewise, it is your relationship with God that determines how you tap into divine substance and divine energy, and how you relate to money, whether you are earning money, saving it, giving it away, or spending it. These are two sides of the same spiritual coin. Lynn Twist, in her book, The Soul of Money, says, money is the most universally motivating, mischievous, miraculous, maligned, and misunderstood part of contemporary life. Money has the power that we assign to it, and we have assigned it immense power. So the real question is, in what direction do we point that power, or again, what is our relationship with God? There is no shame in being wealthy. It is not a crime to be rich or a virtue to be poor. And for a long time, when people from our company traveled, we would stay at good hotels, but we shied away from the really fancy hotels. And our rationale was that we didn't want to send a message. We didn't want people to think that we were making too much money. How crazy was that? One time I checked into a hotel in Hong Kong, and the type of room that I had reserved was not available. They oversold it. So they put me into a two-bedroom corner suite overlooking the Hong Kong harbor. I ended up with a $600 room for $200 a night. I held a business meeting in that room with our largest supplier from Brazil. He came in, looked around, and said, "Mike, I'm not charging you enough." And then he laughed and he said, "You obviously work very hard to be successful. You deserve to stay in a place like this." And so I never explained how I ended up getting that room. I just thanked him. And ironically, I then sat down with him and negotiated a 5% discount on my next order. And from that point on, I started to stay at 5-star hotels whenever I possibly could. Money is congealed energy. How it comes to you relates to how you tap into divine substance. Once you have it, how you use it, how you spend it, reflects your understanding of the source. That is why tithing is a very valuable financial tool. And don't worry, I still am not going to hit on you for money today. But tithing or giving is a spiritual discipline. It is a prayer. It's an affirmation that all that there is comes from one source, one power, and that is God. And with that knowing and understanding, we become more empowered to tap even further into that divine substance, that divine current, and better know what to do to manifest money or currency in our lives. We all know the gospel story in which Jesus just absolutely lost it and went nuts and overturned the tables of the money changers that were in the courtyard of the temple. And it makes sense with what we're talking about, because back at that time, the temple was regarded as the source of God in the lives of Jewish people. And what they were engaging then was in something that was a hypocrisy to that understanding. When we were kids and somebody said something that somebody disagreed with, they often would get challenged and said, "You want to bet on it?" And we would say, "Put your money where your mouth is." Or we might say, "You know what? Money talks and BS walks." See, that's what giving is. It's a tangible manifestation of your understanding that God is our source. And by the way, it doesn't have to be given to a church, and it doesn't have to be given in dollars. Your time, your actions, your service, your talents also represent divine energy. And as to where you should give it, I offer you a simple rule of thumb. Give it where you are spiritually fed. I also want to talk about money from a perspective of spiritual currency. If you, like a lot of people have tried, put a printing machine in your basement and get yourself some well-done, well-designed plates, and try to get your hands on the right paper, you can begin to print money. Currently, it is estimated that there's over $6 billion of counterfeit money in circulation. Anyway, you can then take that phony money and start to use it. You can order a pizza with it. You can buy all kinds of things, nice things at nice stores. However, sooner or later, it is really likely that you will get busted and end up with the police at your door and find yourself in a lot of hot water. In very much the same way, if your spiritual currency is counterfeit, if it's based upon a lack of authenticity, if it's coming from a consciousness of pretense rather than a knowing that God is the source and not you, if it is purely your ego that is running the show and not your heart, then you are trying to sell something that is not real as real. And just as was the case with counterfeit dollars, you can successfully, for a while anyway, use it to gain favor, get recognition, maybe help you become successful in life, maybe attract, command some level of respect, but eventually it has to catch up to you because it's not real. Eventually things fall apart and the police won't show up at your door. They don't have to. Eventually, you will realize the emptiness, the pain, and the knowing that it is only you that you are trying to fool. And so the wheels will come off psychologically, emotionally, financially, and really in all sorts of ways in your life. And you will know struggles on a different level. If you go to Hong Kong, you won't be able to walk 200 feet without somebody approaching you, asking you if you would like to buy a copy watch or a copy handbag. I know. In my lifetime, I probably have bought 30 phony Rolexes or Cartiers and many other brands. And you know what? You can fool people with them for a while. It seems like fun for a time, but it gets old and it grows stale because the whole time you know it's not the real deal. It's a copy, an imitation. And I imagine all of us at one time or another have shown up as something other than the real deal. I believe most of us really do try to be authentic, to be the very best Christ that we can be. But there are times and some situations when we are not fully present, and not only toward others, but even with ourselves. Instead of trying to be the best Christ we can be, we try to sell a copy Christ, a knockoff of the God within. Show me the money. In the movie Jerry Maguire, which is where that clip came from, Cuba Gooding Jr. is shouting that out. And when he was doing so, he was looking for an affirmation, a validation of who he was, a hands-on manifestation of his worth, not just as a football player, but as a human being. And the words are radically different. But think about it. Isn't the phrase, a phrase such as Black Lives Matter, saying the very same thing? I think we would all do well to adopt this phrase, show me the money, as an affirmation included in our litany of prayers. We should have the same expectations in all situations and in all relationships, even the marginal ones. And we should use the currency that we have, our sense of being, wisely. We should, in some way, shape, or form, look at others and say, Namaste, to absolutely everyone that we meet, because it's a way of saying, you are the money. That was a popular phrase once in a while. Somebody would be worried about something, and somebody would give them encouragement and say, man, you got this. You are money. And the reason that it's true is because you are a manifestation. You are born of divine substance. You are a physical presence of a divine idea that came from divine mind. You are congealed spiritual energy. Show me the money. I am congealed spiritual energy. We are congealed spiritual energy. And we are absolutely prosperous beyond imagination if we want to be. We all know what this is. It's a U.S. dollar. We all have different relationships with this. And there's a four-word phrase that's printed on the back. In God we trust. A lot of people think that those words shouldn't be on a dollar bill. But I actually think it just could not possibly be more appropriate, because it affirms everything that we've been talking about here. It's God that gives us a foundation for absolutely everything that we see and meet in the physical world around us. And it's understanding that that's where it comes from, and that those things that we create, or those things that we build, those things that we erect, even when it's the most positive representation, it's only possible because we are acting in our role as co-creators with God or with Spirit. Show me the money. I invite you to go out, go forth, and represent the prosperity that you are. And with that, let's take this to prayer and to meditation.